Acts chapter 20, wanted to bring a message this morning. As we were kind of coming off of last week about being an ensample of the brethren and the believers, and talk a little about this morning, a little bit about how do we stay the course? How do we remain faithful and keep going? And in this difficult world we live in today and all of the battles we face and everything else, how do we remain faithful, staying the course? How do we do that? You know, here in Acts chapter 20, this is nearing the end of Paul's real his ministry, ending the near of his life. And he will very soon be sent, as you know, down to or up to Rome. And there he will meet a martyr's death. And he's giving some ending parting ways and parting words to these people. Notice, if you will, Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. Notice, if you will, he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Everywhere Paul went, there was a reminder from people that he's going to be in bonds and afflictions. He's going to be arrested and persecuted. I don't know about you, but those are not some very good friends. But he knows and noticed and recognized it was of the Holy Spirit. But he says, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." So Paul's parting words here. And how do we stay the course today? As we talked about last week, the church at Thessalonica was a wonderful church Paul loved and cherished. It was his crown. It was his joy, along with the church at Philippi. He mentions that. But he stayed the course. He knew he was going into a difficult season. He knew he was going to be challenged. He knew he was going to be arrested. And he knew he was going to be tried. He was going to be persecuted. And ultimately, he'd be put to death for preaching the gospel, for living for the Lord. And if you've never done a character study of the Apostle Paul, you have to do it sometime, at least once in your lifetime, because you'll find a man who was very, very nothing. He himself several times said, "I am nothing. I'm not an eloquent person, if you will. I'm not a person that people would be attracted to or would want to come and hear and listen because I'm some dynamic type of person." He said, "I'm none of that." And we're going to see here in a minute, he was one man that was extremely intelligent and very well versed and very well trained and very well educated and all of that. But he himself says, "I am nothing when it comes to Christ and serving him." But he says here, "I'm going to go and I'm going to see your face no more. I'm not going to be with you anymore." And he says, I want you to know something that he will say later to Timothy in the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy. He says, though, "I've finished my course. I've done what I was supposed to do. I didn't quit. You and I must be faithful. You know that. Moreover, it's required in stewards, that's you, that's me, what? That we be what? Found faithful. One of the best things you can do as a Christian is be faithful. "Well, I'm not talented, I don't do much, I can't. I don't teach, I don't preach, I don't sing, I don't..." No, you can be faithful. You show up where you're, when you're supposed to be there and do what you're supposed to do. That's a wonderful thing. Now, we think about today, we're required to be faithful. How do we stay the course? No matter our circumstances in life, when we feel like quitting, when we feel we're battered and beaten and ready to go through a difficult season, whatever it is, we remain faithful to serving our Savior. Faithful. Now, the only way we can be, as I talked about last week, the example or ensample to other churches and other believers is to be faithful. You know, "Oh, how's the church doing out in Edgewood?" Well, they were doing pretty good, but they're waning, they're kind of trickling off a little bit. They're unfaithful. No, they'd sit, hear from us and think about this and read about us and hear about us, I don't know, and say, "Man, they're faithful. They're faithful. They stay the course. They keep on going." Now, a few things here this morning that I want you to notice with me here. Number one, to stay the course, we need to acknowledge our distractions. Notice what he says in verse 24, "None of these things move me." None of these things, that's a generic term, things. So there's obviously things in his life and opposition in his life that were trying to move him, meaning push him off the racetrack, push him off the side. He says, "None of these things move me." You and I must acknowledge our distractions if we're going to remain faithful. If you've ever done any kind of athletics, if you've ever done any kind of cross country or running or football, even, you know, you have to focus. You cannot let things distract you and get you off course. You can't be looking out in the grandstands as you're doing the 400. You're going to trip and stumble, fall. You're going to get out of your lane or whatever the case is, right? You have to be focused and faithful. Now notice he says, acknowledging my distractions. I don't know about you, but you ever go to the store and go to really any store, you think about it, you can easily get distracted. And if you're like me, I come out of Walmart with things I didn't even intend to go in to buy, right? I came out and went, how did I get two packs of donuts? Amen to donuts, right? We love donuts. How did I come out? You know, you think about some of that. I didn't mean to buy all. I didn't mean to get that. I shouldn't have done that. Well, what's their intention? Most retail stores know that. And why they put all the candy bars right at the checkout, or the Tic Tacs and they don't sell Ho-Hos anymore, or whatever it is. All those things, because they know you're hungry, man. I'm starving to death after all this hard shopping. Jeez, man. After spending all this money, I'm hungry. And they want you to purchase and buy. You can get distracted if you're like me, and distracted in many ways. I was riding a motorcycle one time on the road, and I was cruising along, and I had gotten distracted. I looked over, and I was distracted at something out there. It was a car, and I was looking at it like, man, that's a nice car or something. And I hit the gas. I came around a corner, and I punched it, and the back end of that bike spun around like that, and it just went out from under me. And there I went tumbling down the side of the road. And those people in that nice car drove by and went, are you okay? You know, I dusted myself off. I'm like, I'm good, you know, all broken and battered and nothing. I wasn't injured or anything, but the bike was just tore. The whole fairing was ripped off. And man, you know, those fairings, you know, those things, man, those are $1,000. What you think about it, you could get distracted. Now we need to acknowledge our distractions. He says here, I want to be careful and cautious. Notice what he says in verse 19, though, I found interesting. He says, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, notice, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul, we think of as being a super Christian. He was just this amazing Christian. I believe personally, as many do, he was probably the greatest missionary to ever live. I mean, he reached more people and started more churches by himself than anybody else, I think, that has ever lived. But notice what it says. He was tempted. Paul was a human being. He was a man. He was just like us. And he had temptations. He had tears. He had problems. He had all kinds of issues that were coming at him. And he says, not only all of this, but all the weight of all the churches, the burden of all the churches that I bear, that I must take care of. Paul was acknowledging those things that were in his way. Can I ask you this morning, are there areas and things in your life that may be distracting? For me, I know what they are. And I've allowed them in, and I sometimes don't handle those things. They're distracting me from focusing on the course. And you and I have a unique responsibility as a child of God, apart from anyone else in the world. And that is, in the very beginning, when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're immediately faced with this fact. You need to start looking out to eternity. You need to start looking out to the end of your life, number one, and then look to eternity. The world does not do that. The world is temporal. The world pushes what? Right here and right now. I want it all and I want it now. The world looks out right now and looks out to Monday morning, but that's about as far as they get. Now they have an idea in the back of their head. They're thinking about the years to come and when they get into their 50s and 60s and maybe possibly when they pass and who's going to have their money and their retirement and all these things. But for us, immediately as we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're forced to look out to the end of our lives. Well, I do need a Savior. One day I am going to die. And then beyond that, you see, and think about this. Are we acknowledging our distractions? Saying, I want to finish my course. I'm looking out ahead. Now, listen to 2 Corinthians 11:24 and what Paul says. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, meaning in the sea. In journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Man, this guy went through some hard times, didn't he? And boy, that ought to put in perspective for you and for me. I don't have it so bad, you know. I think right now the hardest thing we're thinking about is how we're going to stay warm over the next 2 or 3 days, you know. For Paul, it was, am I going to live? He would go into a city, as you know, and he wouldn't come in and say, okay, well, what does the local accommodations look like? No, he would go and say to the commerce there, and he'd go, what is your prison cell like? What's your jail cell like here? They go, why do you want to know that? Well, I'm going to be there probably tomorrow night. You know, I'm going to be there. Well, what is it like here? You think about, he says, now, I've been through all of this. I've acknowledged those distractions. I put them aside and say, I'm going to focus on eternity. I want to encourage you this morning to focus on eternity. Focus on and think about. It's healthy for us to think about those latter days of our life, isn't it? It's not fun to, it's not easy to, but we need to think about it. And you will begin to prepare. You go on a trip, you get ready, you get the kids in the car, you pack up the car. You want to make sure a few things. If you have enough horse sense about you, you know, did I change the oil? Are the tires good? Is everything set? Because I'm not taking an 800-mile trip to California on three wheels, you know, bad tires and haven't maintenance the vehicle. I'm ready to go because I want to make sure I make it there, not get stuck like we did in halfway in Phoenix with no money and nowhere to go. And we were going, oh no, what do we do? Did you think about it? You're acknowledging that. No, notice bonds and afflictions. He says everywhere, all the time, everywhere. Verse 23, he says, he's saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. They're with me. That's a part of my life. If you're a good Christian, if you follow the Lord, if you're worth your salt as a Christian, you need to understand you're going to face bonds and afflictions. If you're a Christian and you have no problems and no issues and everything's great and grand, you might want to be concerned because you might not be doing what you're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean that God doesn't give us peace and rest and bless us tremendously. He does do that. All of us say amen to that. But we're going to face difficulties acknowledging these things. He says there, you know, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? He may please him who hath chosen him, Timothy, to be a soldier. You want to please God. I want to focus in on that. Now, distractions, they can entangle us. Avoid the things around us. Prioritize your day. Prioritize what is important in your life if you're going to stay the course with joy. Let me say here, as we see, number two, not only that, acknowledging the distractions that come, but we then align our disposition. He says in verse 24 again, none of these things move me. Then he says this, neither count I my life dear unto what? Myself. Not that he had this fatalistic mindset, you know, oh, I hate myself and I don't want to live any longer. You know, some people are like that. Oh, I'm just no good. I can't do anything right. And by the way, that's sin. If you're a child of God and you think that way of yourself, you're sinning. Because the Bible says you're fearfully, wonderfully made. God loves you unconditionally. You ever hear one of your children say that about themselves? I heard one of my children last week say something like, oh, I can't do anything right. It hurts you as a parent, doesn't it? You go, no, you know, don't say that. You can do things good. You're good. You think about aligning our disposition, if you will. I don't count my life dear to myself. Now, if anyone had a right to boast of oneself, it could have been and should have been Paul. Anyone. Now, listen again to this we've read this before, but and you know it. He says in Philippians 3, verse 5, talking about himself. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He said he was hardcore. He was pure. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church, he says, persecuting the church. I didn't just sit back idly, twiddle my thumbs. He says, I was gung-ho. I was ready to go. Touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He says, I was perfect under the law. I didn't transgress the law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge for Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, you know, in that same portion, he takes and uses the word dung. He says, all those things that I thought were, that the world sees, that the Jews see as good, I count as refuse. I count as nothing. So low, disgustingly low, when it comes to, in comparison to Jesus Christ. Again, what's going to throw us off course is beginning to think about ourselves. You know, for me, think about me, what I can do, how good I am, what talents I have, you know, what I can do special. No, how about you get alone with God and say, God, what is it that I need to fix? What is it in my life? You think about this. Are you in alignment with God? Are you aligned up? If you've had a car before out of alignment, I'm driving a truck right now and it runs great, but I let go of the steering wheel and it goes to the right, you know, and I can pull it back, you know. It just needs a little bit of an alignment. And you had those cars before. They're irritating, aren't they? And you think about, we need to be in line or aligned with the Lord. If anyone had that right to boast, it would have been Paul. He says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. I don't. So that I can finish my course. Many times the reason we quit and give up is because we wanted something out of it in the first place. Meaning, we quit because our expectations weren't fulfilled. Well, I was hoping that they would have. I was hoping that I could have. I was hoping that me, myself, and I, right? But when you have that mindset or the conviction of, it's not of me, not of myself, then you can get through anything. Well, okay, let's keep going. Let's stay focused. Let's keep the course with joy, right? Aligning our disposition. Beware of those expectations. They're sometimes false. When it does not come, many times we're disappointed. One of the biggest reasons, or one of the main reasons, we know we see divisions in marriages and marriages that dissolve and fall apart, is what? False expectations. People go, well, I expected him to, and I thought she would have, you know, I thought she would have cooked just like mama. No, she's not in here, okay. mama made me a sandwich the other day, and boy, oh man, it was good. I was hot. But then I made the mistake a couple months ago going home and telling my wife that. That wasn't good. I said, man, mama made me a good sandwich. Oh, really, huh? It's not good as mine, you know. And what do you think about here? You beware of those expectations. You think about aligning our disposition. Let me hurry here. Number three, we have then an assessment of our desires. Assessment. Now, why all of this? Notice what he says again in verse 24. So that I might, what? Finish my course with joy, one, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. There's an assessment of our desires. Where do our desires reside? What is our desire today? Where is your focus at? Paul was not content to cross the finish line and collapse exhausted. He wanted to run in such a way as to have something to celebrate when he was done. Oh, if I could just finish, get to the end and finish. Oh, that's not the idea. You know that. It's to finish the course with joy. Have a joy about you. Have an excitement, a celebration about you in that regard. What are your desires? Not just to make money, not to ensure your financial stability, not just to fulfill a desire, not to have enough so that you can rest. No, it's that you would what? Live my life aligned to His and finish with joy. Finish. There's one day this old world is coming to an end. Your life is coming to an end. There's a finish line out there. Finish line. Are you focused on what you should be? I want to pass the baton to those behind me. And the only way to do that is to literally finish the course. You've seen in the Olympics or other games when they come, and you've seen maybe before as they come and they pass that baton and the guy in front drops it. Well, what happens? Man, they're done. They're done for. We want to get to the finish. We want to run our length, our section of the race. If I stop, stumble, fall, give up, it's too hard, I'm done. The guy up there waiting with to take the baton will be done as well. You and I need to be finishing strong. We need to stay the course. Why? Not for only for ourselves, but for what? For those behind us. For those that are waiting and saying, boy, if daddy did it and mommy did it and grandma and grandpa did it, hey, I can go. I can keep going. Assessment of our desires. Where's your desire today? Do you want to finish? Now, Paul says in this chapter to keep going. With the example, he says, I've given you. I've given you the example. Thinking about this. He goes on, and I won't read all of it, but he talks about that, being the example to these people. Paul wrote later in 1 Corinthians 3:2 about feeding them, being mature, being well off, if you will, spiritually. Are you where you're supposed to be? Desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God. Assessing your desires. Where's your desires today? Are they focused on Christ? Wonderful, wonderful man that led this church, led many churches. And as he passed off the scene, you know that. These people, especially in Ephesus there, they were saddened. They said, don't go, Paul. We don't want you to go. We need you. We love you. Paul says, this is God's will. I'm going. And you think about it, that's the kind of life that we ought to live and leave for those around us. Now we know him. We know him. Do we stay the course? Staying the course with that. Now he says here, none of these things move me. Nothing pushes me aside. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. 2 Timothy 4, and begin to wrap it up here. 2 Timothy 4, and Paul begins, ends, this is his, as you know your Bibles, this is the last, what many believe, last letter Paul writes before he is killed in that Mamertine prison there in Rome. And 2 Timothy 4, notice what he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. That word offered there has to do with a sacrificial offering. You know that. He will be put down and literally be killed. And the time of my departure is at hand. Notice, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them, that's us, all of them also that love is appearing, all them. do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now notice this. For Demas hath forsaken me. He didn't finish his course. He quit. He stumbled. Having loved this present world, departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. He goes on. Do you think about, he says, I finished my course. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And then here's an example of an individual who did not finish. If you recall back in Colossians, he says, hey, I want you to know Demas is with me. Demas is still with me. Demas is faithful. Is faithful. I find it interesting the Catholics take, and you've heard of San Demas in California. There's a San Demas. There's a big church there, San Demas. Saint Demas. I don't think I'd want to be named after Demas here. He fell, you know. But you think about Demas was an individual forever recorded in Scripture as being one that dropped the baton, one that didn't finish the course. You may not have been thinking about the ramifications of him self-quitting the course, but it affected many people. And Paul literally went to the chopping block with this on his heart and his mind, that one of his followers, one of his young men that he was mentoring and grooming for the ministry had quit. Can you imagine how that made Paul feel? Maybe I messed up somewhere. But you and I know that we can finish. We stay focused. We know. Do you know him today? Do you have that focus? Have you aligned your disposition? You assessed your distractions around you? Have you taken that? Have you had your desires focused and where they should be? And when you put your desires on God, everything else will fall into place. Not everything will be perfect and all your problems go away. Everything will be put into place. And I've said it before, but I love the saying that when you please Him, you'll please everyone else you're supposed to please around you. Not everybody. Doesn't say you'll please everybody, because that's impossible. People are impossible. You'll please everyone you're supposed to please, that God is wanting you to please in His will. And that's what we want to do. He says, Timothy, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life so that you can please Him. Please Him. Yeah, but what about that? No, please Him. Yeah, but what about the church? Please Him. That's our focus. Staying the course. Let me encourage you with a few things here and then we'll be done. Walk every day with the Lord. Walk every day with the Lord. Don't miss a day. Don't miss a day of your Bible reading. Don't miss a day of prayer. Don't miss a day of seeking to obey the Spirit, submission to Him. I would encourage you to pray, and I often fail at this, but praying, Lord, I submit myself to You. I ask You to lead me today. Walk every day with the Lord. Catch up. If you're falling behind in that area of Bible reading, catch up to it. Get where you should be. Let me say, set some spiritual goals. Set goals of, I want to read more. I want to pray more. I want to memorize more. I want to listen to, put a Bible tape in or Bible CD in your car instead of listening to that junk. Do something there. Put something in your vehicle. Put something in at home that would help you set some spiritual goals. Thinking about that. Thirdly, let me say, constantly remind yourself that nothing is more important than your relationship with the Lord. Nothing's more important. And again, we think often, we'll put kids first or finances first. We put God first, everything else will fall into place. When you put those things together, when you've done that, you know, and understanding it, constantly remind yourself nothing's more important than your relationship. Everything else and everyone else in your life will benefit from this priority. It won't hurt your marriage to prioritize God. It won't hurt your kids. It won't hurt your finances. You say, well, I don't want to give that because it'll hurt. No, you prioritize God in your life. Every area, you'll be benefited. Every person around you will benefit. We know that. We must run the race. Let me conclude here. Paul ends his charge to the Ephesian elders, gives them an example to follow. As we run a race in this life, we're giving those behind us a great example. There's many marathon runners out there that would give anything to go back and finish the race that they stepped out of. Many Christians today that would give anything to go back and finish the course and get through that difficult season just to see the light that they quit. They quit before the light came. And sometimes you see the light at the end of the tunnel and it's not the light, it's a freight train coming. You know, you're going, oops, wrong one. You think about God's asking us to finish the course with joy. We don't come in and finish our course. Again, you know, oh my goodness, that was so hard and difficult and I'm just tattered, torn, beaten. No, we finish it with joy. We finish it. Amen. I'm glad I did. I have a good spirit about it. I have a contentment about what I did. I'm focused. Are you where you're supposed to be? Aligning yourself, staying the course as only we can. Now you think about that today. God's asked each one of us, given us a responsibility to stay the course. It's not a choice today. It's a responsibility. Are you staying where you are? God doesn't want quitters. And He says, reminds Timothy there, He wants a soldier, someone who stands and stays and fights, even when their back hurts and feet hurt and they got a headache and they don't feel good and it doesn't seem like anything's going right, they're saying, God, I'm focused on you. I want you to be pleased. Everyone else will benefit from my relationship with you. All right, I'll stop there today. Stay the course. Be faithful to God, and you will be rewarded. I'm telling you, we don't know the day nor the hour when we'll take our last breath on this earth. And I would like to stand before Christ in an instant and be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there, right? Staying the course right with Him. Amen. Lord, thank you for another opportunity today to share your word. As I say, I thank you for the grace that you've given us. I pray for your help today, these dear faithful people. I pray you bless their lives and be with them, be with the kids, work in their lives. Again, as I say, keep your hedge about them, put your hand upon their lives. Be with our mothers and fathers and watch over us, Lord, and bring us back safely tonight if you'd allow it. And Lord, guide us. Please help us to stay the course, be what we should be, and not quit, not give up. Lord, we're so thankful you didn't give up. The Bible says there that you went a little further. And when they came to you and arrested and did all that they did to you, Father, we're so thankful that you didn't quit. We thank you, pray you'd help us, empower us to be what we should be today and this week, Lord, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name again, we do pray these things. And amen and amen. Thank you. God bless.